Hello, I'm Moira Alderson with the BBC News. Rising concerns about the impact of Donald Trump's trade tariffs have led to heavy losses on US stock markets. The Nasdaq index closed down by 4%. The Dow Jones slipped by 2%. From New York, here's our North America business correspondent, Erin Delmore.
Investors are rattled by a Sunday Fox News interview in which President Trump refused to rule out the possibility of the U.S. entering a recession. Investors are concerned that tariffs will lead to higher prices for consumers and complicate efforts by Federal Reserve officials to bring down inflation and cut borrowing costs. Even the tech sector that fueled optimism and powered the stock market to new highs last year took a beating. Elon Musk's Tesla suffered a 15% decline, and tech darling Nvidia fell 5%, and Alphabet and Meta fell more than 4% on the day.
Syria's Islamist government has reached an agreement with the Kurdish-run administration in the northeast, known as the Syrian Democratic Forces, to integrate their institutions. Under the deal, the SDF will relinquish to Damascus control of its oil and gas fields. Here's Mike Thompson.
Syria's fledgling government only controls part of the country, with other armed groups holding the rest. Of these, the Kurdish-led SDF is perhaps the most powerful. Its forces hold sway in a huge semi-autonomous area of the northeast. Now, according to Syria's interim government, the SDF is to relinquish control of its large battle-hardened military along with its airports and border posts. These will be run by a joint administration.
The US Secretary of State Marco Rubio has expressed optimism over Tuesday's planned meeting between US officials and Ukrainians in Saudi Arabia. Speaking to reporters just before landing in Jeddah, he said Washington needed to get a general idea of what concessions Kyiv is prepared to make so that President Trump's plans for a quick truce in Ukraine can go ahead. Our State Department correspondent Tom Bateman is in Jeddah.
The US Secretary of State says that he is here to see, in his language, if the Ukrainians are ready to move forward with President Trump's plan to do what President Trump wants. They're trying to offer something now. They're saying they're prepared to sign up to a ceasefire in the sea and in the air if the Russians will do the same. Mr. Rubio says he will take that and any concessions that the Ukrainians are prepared to give in time, go to the Russians with those, see what Moscow's red lines are, see how big the gap is and whether or not it can be bridged.
A federal judge in New York has temporarily blocked efforts by the Trump administration to deport a Palestinian student protester. Mahmoud Khalil, who has a green card and is a permanent US resident, was detained by immigration officials on Saturday. He played a key role in organising last year's demonstrations at Columbia University denouncing the war in Gaza. BBC News. The British Coast Guard says it's called off a search in the North Sea for a crew member of a Portuguese cargo ship who went missing after the vessel crashed into an oil tanker carrying jet fuel for the US military. Both vessels burst into flames following a massive explosion. The tanker, the Stena Immaculate, was carrying aviation fuel, some of which poured into the sea. The cargo ship had 15 containers on board of sodium cyanide, a highly poisonous substance. The army in the Gambia says a former brigadier general suspected of being a member of a death squad during the ex-dictator Yahya Jammeh's rule has been found dead in prison. Bora Colley is alleged to have belonged to a notorious paramilitary unit known as the Junglers. He was jailed upon his return to the Gambia last year after 8 years in exile. Police in Nigeria say fighters from a recently formed jihadist group have killed 13 people and set fire to 8 villages during an attack in the northwest of the country. A police spokesman said militants from the Lakurawa group were avenging the killing of one of the group's commanders by security forces in the area. French MPs have adopted a bill making it easier to open new drinking bars in villages in a bid to revive social life in rural communities. David Bamford has this report.
In the 1960s, France had 200,000 bars. Today, the number is under 40,000. The new legislation, approved by French MPs, loosens the modern-day tight restrictions on bar permits to sell spirits. Currently, many bars in France have only been allowed to offer beers and wines. Supporters of the bill argue the changes needed to better cement social ties and reduce social isolation, though critics warn of health risks through alcoholism.
David Bamford reporting, BBC News.